A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been looking at durable metal pens, the kind engineers and everyday carry people obsess over. Rotring 600, Zebra F701, Parker Jotter, Nightcore, Smoother Pro, that whole world. And what surprised him is that experienced users seem to care as much about the refill as the pen body itself. So he's asking for a practical introduction. How are these pens categorized? Why have certain models stuck around for decades? How much does the refill actually influence the writing experience? What are the major refill standards? And the real question, if someone wants one pen that lasts decades while letting them experiment with different refills, where do they start?
This is genuinely one of my favorite corners of product design, because a $5 refill completely transforms a $100 pen, or a $30 pen, and most people never discover that. The refill is the engine.
The pen body is just the chassis.
And some chassis have been in production since the 1950s and still take modern refills. That's absurd longevity for a consumer product.
All right, walk me through the categories first. Because when I look at this space, I see things like quote-unquote machined pens and EDC pens and technical pens, and I don't know if those are real distinctions or just marketing.
They're real, but the boundaries are fuzzy. I'd say there are about four overlapping categories. First, the classic retractable ballpoints. Parker Jotter is the archetype. Slim, click mechanism takes Parker-style G2 refills. These have been around since 1954. Second, drafting and technical pens. The Rotring 600 is the icon here. Originally designed for technical drawing on drafting film. Hexagonal brass body, knurled grip, no give at all. Third, the rugged all-metal budget category. Zebra F701 is the poster child. $10 to $15 stainless steel, built like a nail but takes some work to accept premium refills. And fourth, the machined EDC pens. Tactile Turn, Big Idea Design, Karas Customs, Machine Era. These are small batch, often made on CNC lathes, and they tend to be designed explicitly around refill flexibility. That fourth category is where a lot of the energy is right now.
EDC being everyday carry.
And that term matters because it shapes the design priorities. An EDC pen is meant to ride in a pocket next to a knife and a flashlight. It needs to survive drops, not deploy accidentally, and accept refills you can find anywhere. The Zebra F701 got famous partly because it looks like a much more expensive pen, and partly because EDC forums discovered you could hack it to take Fisher Space pen refills.
Some of these pens have modding communities.
The F701 has a whole lore around which refills drop in and which require trimming the plastic collar or swapping the spring. It's the Honda Civic of pens. Cheap, durable, and people can't stop tinkering with it.
I love that. The tuner culture of office supplies.
It's not just the F701. The Parker Jotter has an almost 60-year ecosystem of third-party refills. The Rotring 600 ballpoint has people debating whether the Schmidt EasyFlow 9000 or the Uni Jetstream SXR 600 is the superior hybrid ink. These debates get heated.
Of course they do. So, let's talk about the refill standards, because that seems to be the thing Daniel realized he was missing. What are the major ones?
There are really four refill formats that dominate this world. Number one, Parker Style G2. This is the most important refill standard in existence. It's a metal-bodied refill, about 98 millimeters long, with a distinctive stepped profile near the tip. It fits the Parker Jotter, the Rotring 600 ballpoint, the Zebra F701 with some fiddling, and hundreds of other pens. The G2 here is Parker's internal designation, not to be confused with the Pilot G2 gel pen, which uses a completely different refill. That naming collision is the single most annoying thing about this hobby.
Parker G2 and Pilot G2 are unrelated.
Different dimensions, different pens, different everything. If you walk into a store and say, I need a G2 refill, you will get the wrong thing roughly 50% of the time.
The USB-A of writing instruments.
That's actually perfect. Ubiquitous, standardized, and yet somehow still confusing. Alright, second major format, the D1. This is a tiny refill, about 67 millimeters long, used in multi-pens and compact pens. Fisher Space Pen makes a D1 version of their pressurized refill. Third, the Fisher Space Pen PR series, the pressurized refill that writes upside down, underwater, over grease, in zero gravity. It comes with a white plastic adapter that lets it fit Parker G2 pens, which is why the modding community loves it. And fourth, the ISO G2 rollerball format. Again, completely different name collision, used in capped rollerball pens, about 111 millimeters long. Schmidt makes a ceramic roller version of this that's widely loved.
Someone with a Parker G2 pen can use Parker's own refills, plus Schmidt, plus Fisher with an adapter, plus Uni Jetstream hybrid refills,
plus the Parker Gel Refill, plus Etoya, plus Monteverde. The Parker G2 ecosystem is enormous. That's why I'd argue the single most important decision when buying a durable pen is whether it takes Parker-style G2 refills. If it does, you have access to maybe 30 or 40 different writing experiences without changing pens.
That's the refill flexibility Daniel's asking about.
Here's where it gets interesting. The refill doesn't just change the ink color, it changes the entire physical experience. Ballpoint ink is oil-based, high viscosity, requires more pressure, has more feedback. Gel ink is water-based, low viscosity, glides with almost no pressure, but can smear. Hybrid ballpoint, sometimes called low viscosity or emulsion ink, splits the difference. The Uni Jetstream is the gold standard here. It writes like a gel but dries like a ballpoint. The Schmidt EasyFlow 9000 is the other big name in hybrid ink for the Parker G2 format.
If I have a Rotring 600 and I put a Schmidt EasyFlow in it, I'm getting a fundamentally different experience than with the stock Rotring refill.
Night and day. The stock Rotring refill is a standard oil-based ballpoint. It's fine, reliable, a little draggy, requires some pressure. The EasyFlow 9000 is smooth to the point where people describe it as buttery. That word shows up in basically every review, and it lays down a darker line with less pressure. But it's a broader tip, typically 0.7 millimeters or 1 millimeter, so if you want fine lines for technical sketches, you might prefer the Uni Jetstream SXR 600 in 0.5 or 0.38.
0.38 millimeters. That's practically a needle.
That's the thing. The refill ecosystem lets you switch between a bold, buttery line and a surgical fine line in the same pen body on the same day without buying a new pen. That's the value proposition.
Let's go through the enduring models. Why has the Rotring 600 stuck around since the late 80s?
The Rotring 600 ballpoint. And I should distinguish it from the mechanical pencil and the fountain pen, which share the name but are different products, is basically a piece of architectural history you can buy for about $35. It was designed for drafting. Hexagonal brass body so it doesn't roll off a tilted drawing board. Knurled grip that's functional, not decorative. The weight is substantial, about 23 grams, and it's balanced toward the grip, which gives it a planted feel. The click mechanism is satisfying in a way that's hard to describe. It's a solid, authoritative click.
The glockenspiel of corporate approachability.
I mean, yes, actually. There's a reason architects and engineers have been carrying these for 35 years. It looks serious without looking flashy. The matte black version is basically the pen equivalent of a black turtleneck.
The Barker Jotter? That's been around even longer.
Since 1954. Over 750 million sold. It's slim, lightweight, about 15 grams, and the click is famously loud. People either love or hate the Jotter's thin profile. If you have larger hands or write for long sessions, it can feel cramped. But as a pocket pen, it's hard to beat. It disappears into a shirt pocket. And because it defined the G2 standard, the refill options are essentially unlimited.
750 million! That's approaching Bic Crystal territory.
It's a different category. The Bic is disposable, the Jotter is refillable, but culturally, they're both pens that everyone's grandmother had in a drawer somewhere. The Jotter has also had a design moment recently. There was a piece in, I think, Architectural Digest or maybe GQ last year about the pens designers actually use, and the Jotter showed up repeatedly. It's having a quiet renaissance among people who are tired of disposable everything.
What about the Zebra F701?
This one's interesting because it's the budget entry that punches way above its weight. All stainless steel, textured grip, writes acceptably out of the box, and costs about $8. The stock refill is a standard Zebra ballpoint, nothing special. But the body is a tank. And the EDC community figured out that with a simple modification, removing a small plastic insert in the tip, it accepts Fisher Space Pen refills and a range of others.
For $8 plus a $5 refill, you get something that competes with pens costing 3 or 4 times as much.
It's probably the best value in durable pens, period. The caveat is that the click mechanism isn't as refined as the Jotter or the Rotring. It's a little gritty, and the knurling is more aggressive. Some people find it uncomfortable. But for a pen you can throw in a tool bag and not worry about, it's basically perfect.
What about the machined pen world? You mentioned tactile turn, big idea design.
This is where things get expensive fast. Tactile Turn is based in Texas, founded by a machinist named Will Hodges. Their pens are CNC machined from titanium, bronze, copper, or zirconium. They start around $100 and go up. The bolt action mechanism is their signature. It's a machined bolt that you slide along a track to deploy the refill. Incredibly fidgety in the best way.
It's a pen and a stress toy.
People openly admit to buying them for the fidget factor, but the real engineering story is the refill adaptability. Tactile Turn makes 3 sizes, standard, short, and mini, and each is designed to fit specific refills with no modifications, no adapters, no trimming. The standard takes Pilot G2 gel refills, the short takes Parker Style G2, the mini takes D1. Big Idea Design goes even further. Their whole pitch is that their pens adjust to fit basically any refill. They use a collet system in the tip that grips refills of different diameters, plus an adjustable internal length. You can put a Parker G2, a Pilot G2, a Fisher, a D1, a Rollerball, dozens of refills, all in the same pen.
That's the one pen for life. Proposition right there.
It really is. And I think that's where Daniel's question about starting points gets interesting. There's a philosophical split in this community. Some people want the pen that fits the most refills, maximum flexibility. Some people want the refill that writes the best and then find a pen that fits it, maximum quality. And some people want the pen that feels the best in hand, period, and they'll live with whatever refill it takes.
Which camp are you in?
I'm in the second camp. Find the refill you love, then find the body. Because the refill determines how the pen actually writes, the body determines how it feels in your pocket and your hand. But the writing experience, the thing you do with the pen, is almost entirely the refill. Ink formulation, tip precision, line width, feedback, pressure required.
Let's rank the refills then. If someone walks into this blind, what should they try?
I'd say there's a clear top tier. For the smoothest writing experience in the Parker G2 format, the Schmidt EasyFlow 9000 is the benchmark. It's a hybrid ink, so it combines the smoothness of a gel with the quick drying properties of a ballpoint. The line is dark, consistent, and requires almost no pressure. The downside is tip size. You're mostly limited to medium and broad, around 0.7 or 1 millimeter. If you need fine lines, the Uni Jetstream SXR 600 in 0.5 or 0.38 is the choice. It's slightly less lubricated than the EasyFlow, a touch more feedback, but the precision is unmatched. For a traditional ballpoint with real character, the Fisher Space Pen PR series is still relevant. It's not the smoothest. It has a slightly tacky feel, but it writes anywhere, on anything, and it never dries out. The shelf life is supposedly over 100 years, which is either impressive or absurd depending on your perspective.
100 years? So your great-grandchildren can inherit a still-functional ballpoint refill?
Fisher actually markets it that way. And then there's the Parker Gel Refill, Parker's own gel option in the G2 format. It's a true gel, so it's very smooth and very dark, but it smears more than the hybrid options. If you're left-handed, this is a real consideration. Left-handed writers tend to prefer the hybrids or the traditional ballpoints because they dry faster and don't smear under a dragging hand.
That's a detail I wouldn't have thought of.
It comes up constantly in pen forums. Left-handed people have a fundamentally different relationship with ink drying time. The Fisher Pressurized Refill and the Jetstream are both excellent for lefties.
Alright, so we've got categories, we've got refill standards, we've got the enduring models. Let's get to the practical recommendation. Daniel wants one pen that lasts decades, takes interchangeable refills, and is oriented toward note-taking, technical sketches, and everyday carry. Not luxury, not collecting. Where do you start someone?
I think there are 3 sensible starting points, depending on budget and priorities. Option 1, the Rotring 600 ballpoint. About $35, brass body, hexagonal, knurled grip takes Parker G2 refills natively. It's been in production for over 30 years and replacement parts are available. The build quality is exceptional for the price. The main downside is that the finish, especially the black, can wear over time, revealing brass underneath. Some people love that patina, some don't. But as a riding instrument, it's precise, balanced, and compatible with the entire G2 ecosystem. Buy it, swap in a Schmidt EasyFlow 9000 or a Jetstream SXR 600, and you're done.
The silver version doesn't have the finish. Wear issue?
The silver is just bare metal. It'll show scratches but won't reveal a different color underneath. It's the more practical choice if you're bothered by patina. The Parker Jotter, specifically the all-stainless version, about $15 to $20. Lighter, slimmer, more pocketable than the Rotring. The click mechanism is iconic. The refill ecosystem is identical. It's the pen that created the G2 standard. The trade-off is ergonomics. The thin barrel can cause hand fatigue during long riding sessions. For quick notes and pocket carry, it's hard to beat. For 3-hour drafting sessions, it's not ideal. If the budget can stretch further, something from Big Idea Design, their Pocket Pro or their TR-Toe EDC. These are titanium pins with the adjustable collet system I mentioned. The Pocket Pro is about $75, takes over 100 different refills, and is compact enough for pocket carry but extends to full size when posted. The TR-Toe is about $90 and fits even more refills, something like 750 according to their marketing. The collet grips the refill tip with zero play, and the internal length is adjustable via a threaded mechanism. It's as close to a universal refill pin as exists.
750 refill options. That's either liberating or paralyzing.
It's both. The paradox of choice is real here. But for someone who wants to experiment, try a fine Jetstream this week, a broad EasyFlow next week, a Fisher pressurized refill for a camping trip. It's the most flexible platform available.
What about the Zebra F701? You mentioned it as a value pick.
The F701 is a fantastic starter pen if you're willing to do 5 minutes of modification. Out of the box, it takes Zebra's own F-Series refill and a few others. To get the full Parker G2 compatibility, you need to remove a small plastic collar from inside the tip. It's trivial with tweezers, but it's a mod. Once that's done, the refill world opens up. For $8 plus a $5 refill, you get a stainless steel pin that writes like something costing much more. If Daniel wants to dip a toe in without spending much, this is the entry point.
The Neatcore and Smoother Pro, he mentioned.
Neatcore is primarily a flashlight company, and their pen, the NTP31, is a bolt-action design that takes Fisher Space pen refills. It's built like their flashlights, tactical, anodized, aggressive knurling. It's a good pen, but it's more limited in refill compatibility. Smoother Pro is one of those Amazon brands that makes machined pens at lower price points. They're essentially tactile turn clones with bolt-action mechanisms and Parker G2 compatibility. Quality is hit or miss. Some are excellent for $30. Some have gritty mechanisms. It's a gamble.
The safe bets are Rotring, Parker, Zebra, or Big Idea Design.
With the caveat that Big Idea Design is a small operation, order directly from them, not Amazon, because counterfeits have been reported, and Rotring has had quality control fluctuations. The current production, made in Japan since the early 2000s, is generally excellent, but there was a period after production moved from Germany when the knurling was reportedly less crisp. The Japan-made ones are the ones to get.
When did production move?
Early 2000s, when Sanford, now Newell Brands, acquired Rotring. The German plant closed, production shifted to Japan. It's actually been a quality improvement overall, but purists grumble.
Purists always grumble. So, if we're building the one pen for decades recommendation, walk me through the refill selection. Someone buys a Rotring 600. What refills do they order on day one to start experimenting?
I'd order three. The Schmidt EasyFlow 9000 in blue or black, medium, that's your daily riding refill, smooth and dark. The Uni Jetstream SXR 600 in 05, that's your precision refill for technical sketches and small handwriting. And the Fisher Space Pen PR4 in black, that's your adventure refill, writes upside down, in the rain, on a greasy napkin, whatever. Three refills, about $15 to $20 total, and you've covered 95% of riding scenarios. If you want a gel option, add the Parker Gel Refill in 07, but the first three are the essentials.
None of these require adapters or modifications in the Rotring.
They all drop in. That's the beauty of the Parker G2 standard. The Fisher PR series comes with the white plastic adapter already attached. It's part of the design. You just drop it in.
The total cost of entry, Rotring 600 plus 3 premium refills, is about $50. That's less than most people spend on disposable pens in a couple of years.
The pen will outlast you. There's something satisfying about that. In a world of planned obsolescence, a brass pen with interchangeable refills is a quiet act of resistance.
All right, I want to push on something. Is there an argument that this is all overthinking it? That a 12-pack of Pilot G2s for $10 is the actual rational choice?
There's absolutely an argument for that. The Pilot G2 gel pen is a great writing instrument. It's smooth, it's consistent, it's available everywhere. If you lose pens constantly, buying a $75 machined pen is a terrible idea. The refillable metal pen makes sense for people who don't lose pens, who write enough to care about the ergonomics, and who get some satisfaction from the object itself. It's not purely rational. There's an aesthetic and tactile dimension.
It's like mechanical keyboards. A $20 membrane keyboard types fine. People don't buy mechanical keyboards because they can't type on membranes. They buy them because the experience matters.
That's exactly the right analogy. And just like mechanical keyboards, there's a spectrum from perfectly good $50 option to $400 group buy with custom keycaps. The pens we're talking about are the Ducky and Keychron of the pen world. Excellent quality at a fair price, without entering the luxury stratosphere.
What's the luxury stratosphere in pens?
Mont Blanc, Graf von Faber, Castel, Visconti, Namiki. Fountain pens that cost more than a used car. Beautiful objects, but not what Daniel's asking about. He specifically said durable and practical, not luxury or collector-oriented.
So let's talk about the ink itself for a moment. You mentioned oil-based, gel, hybrid. What actually changes between these formulations?
The carrier medium. Oil-based ballpoint ink uses a viscous oil that's paste-like at rest. The ball bearing, typically tungsten carbide, rotates and picks up ink from the reservoir, then deposits it on the paper. Because the ink is thick, it requires pressure to flow, and it dries almost instantly because there's no water to evaporate. Gel ink replaces the oil with a water-based gel thickened with, typically, xanthan gum or a similar polymer. It flows much more freely, requires almost no pressure, and produces a more saturated line. But it dries more slowly because the water has to evaporate or absorb into the paper. Hybrid or low viscosity ballpoint ink uses a modified oil base with lower viscosity. It flows more like a gel but dries more like a ballpoint. The jet stream and the easy flow are both hybrid formulations.
The Fisher pressurized refill?
That's thixotropic ink. It's gel-like at rest but becomes fluid under shear. Plus, the entire refill is pressurized with nitrogen at about 35 psi, which forces the ink toward the ball regardless of orientation or gravity. That's why it writes upside down and underwater. The downside is that the ink has a slightly higher viscosity, so there's more drag on the paper. It doesn't glide the way a hybrid does.
If I'm taking notes in a meeting, I want the easy flow or jet stream. If I'm doing field work in the rain, I want the Fisher.
If you're doing both, you carry one pen and swap refills in 30 seconds. That's the whole value proposition.
I want to circle back to the Zebra F721 for a moment, because the modding culture fascinates me. What exactly do people do to this pen?
The classic mod is replacing the stock plastic click mechanism with the all-metal mechanism from a Zebra F402. The F402 has a metal clicker and a metal internal assembly. You can transplant it into the F701 body, and suddenly you have an all-metal pen, no plastic anywhere, for about $15 total. It's purely aesthetic, but the EDC community loves it. The other mod is the refill mod I mentioned, removing the plastic insert in the tip cone to accept Parker-style refills. Some people also swap the spring or replace the clip with a machined titanium clip from a third-party seller. There's an entire subculture around this $8 pen.
Like adopting a feral cat.
You take this rough little thing and you civilize it into something that outperforms pens at 5 times the price.
Are there any pens in this category that are bad, that people buy and immediately regret?
The Smoother Pro and similar generic Amazon Bolt action pens are the biggest gamble. Some are fine, some have mechanisms that bind or tip wiggle that makes writing unpleasant. Tip wiggle is the enemy. If the refill isn't held firmly at the tip, every stroke has a tiny lateral movement that makes the pen feel imprecise. It's the pen equivalent of a loose steering wheel. The established brands, Parker, Rotring, Zebra, Tactile Turn, Big Idea Design, have solved this. The generics often haven't.
That's the term I didn't know I needed.
It's what separates a precision instrument from a fidget toy, and it's one of the reasons the Rotring 600 has endured. The tip is machined to very tight tolerances, and the refill sits absolutely solid. No play, no wiggle, no rattle.
What about weight? You mentioned the Rotring is 23 grams. Is heavier generally better in this world?
It's personal. Some people want a heavy pen that feels substantial. The brass and copper machined pens can weigh 40 to 50 grams. Some people want something light for long writing sessions. The Parker Jotter at 15 grams is on the light end. The Rotring at 23 is a middleweight. There's no right answer, but if you're writing for hours, lighter is generally less fatiguing. For quick notes, weight feels premium.
If Daniel is doing technical sketches and engineering work, which probably means shorter bursts of writing with some precision work, a heavier pen might actually be preferable.
For precise line work, yes. The weight helps stabilize the tip. Drafting pens were traditionally heavy for exactly that reason. The mass reduces micro tremors. The Rotring 600 was literally designed for this use case.
Alright, let's address the elephant in the room. Are they relevant to this conversation at all?
Daniel specifically asked about practical, durable pens for everyday carry. Fountain pens are a different category with different trade-offs. They're wonderful writing instruments, but they're higher maintenance, more prone to leaking, sensitive to paper quality, and generally not something you throw in a pocket with your keys. The refillable metal pens we're discussing are the pragmatic choice. Fountain pens are the romantic choice.
That's a clean distinction. So even though Rotring makes a fountain pen and a mechanical pencil under the 600 name, we're talking about the ballpoint.
The ballpoint is the one that takes Parker G2 refills and fits the brief. The mechanical pencil is also excellent, but that's a different tool for a different purpose.
Let's talk about the Parker Jotter's design for a moment. You said it's been around since 1954. What made it so enduring?
The designer was a man named Kenneth Parker, the founder's son, and he was influenced by the streamlined aesthetic of mid-century industrial design. The Jotter has an arrow clip that's become iconic. Parker still uses it as their logo. The click mechanism was innovative at the time and has barely changed. It's a remarkably pure design. No unnecessary elements. The stainless steel versions have a particular weight distribution that feels balanced. And because it's been in continuous production for over 70 years, the aftermarket support is enormous. You can buy springs, clips, mechanisms. It's the pen equivalent of a Honda Super Cub.
The Honda Super Cub of pens. That's going to stick with me.
It's the most produced motor vehicle in history. It's been in continuous production since 1958, and it's essentially unchanged because the design was right the first time. The Jotter is the same story.
If someone wants the slim, lightweight 70-year-old design icon, they get the Jotter. If they want the knurled hexagonal drafting table tool, they get the Rotring. If they want maximum refill flexibility in a modern machine body, Big Idea Design. If they want to spend $8 and tinker, the Zebra F701.
That's the decision tree. And honestly, you can't go wrong with any of them as long as you understand the trade-offs.
What about the refill that comes stock in these pens? Are any of them good enough to use without immediately upgrading?
The Parker Quinkflow refill that comes in the Jotter is decent. It's a hybrid ink that Parker developed to compete with the Jetstream and Easy Flow. It's not quite as smooth, but it's perfectly usable. The stock Rotring refill is a basic oil-based ballpoint, functional but uninspiring. The Zebra F701 stock refill is the weakest of the bunch. I'd replace it immediately. The Big Idea Design pens don't come with a refill. You choose your own from the start.
The upgrade is mandatory on the Zebra, recommended on the Rotring, and optional on the Parker.
That's fair. And the upgrade is $5 to $7. It's not a major investment.
I want to zoom out for a moment. Why do you think there's been this resurgence of interest in durable, refillable pens? It feels like it's part of a broader trend. Mechanical watches, safety razors, cast iron pans, film cameras.
I think it's a reaction to disposability. We've spent 2 decades moving toward everything being single-use, subscription-based, or designed for the landfill. A brass pen that takes a refill you can buy at any office supply store. That's the opposite. It's a small, affordable way to opt out of the disposable economy. And it's a pleasure to use in a way that a disposable pen rarely is. The weight, the mechanism, the lack of flex, it signals quality every time you pick it up.
There's also something about tools that outlast you. A pen that will still write perfectly in 2060 is making a statement about time and permanence that a big crystal just doesn't.
The refill ecosystem means the pen can evolve with you. When Uni releases a new ink formulation in 2028, your Rotring 600 can use it. When Schmidt improves the easy flow, you just buy the new refill. The pen body is a platform, not a product.
Except your pen doesn't need a software update that breaks the battery life.
The pen's battery is your hand. It's the ultimate in planned non-obsolescence.
All right, let's do a quick practical summary for someone who's ready to buy. What's the one pen, one refill recommendation for the person who doesn't want to experiment, just wants the best writing experience out of the box?
Rotring 600 ballpoint in silver, plus a Schmidt EasyFlow 9000 in medium black. Total cost about $40. It will write beautifully, last for decades, and if you ever get curious about other refills, the entire Parker G2 universe is open to you.
If they want to spend less.
Parker Jotter All Stainless, same refill, about $20 total. Lighter, slimmer, just as capable.
If they want the maximum refill flexibility route.
Big Idea Design Pocket Pro. $75, fits over 100 refills, titanium construction. Pair it with the EasyFlow 9000 to start, then experiment from there.
If they want to be able to write on a wet napkin in a snowstorm.
Fisher Space Pen refill in whatever body fits it. The Zebra F701 with the plastic collar removed is the cheapest durable host. Or just buy the Fisher AG7, the original astronaut pen, for about $60. It's been to space.
I love that the astronaut pen isn't marketing. It's documentation.
It flew on Apollo 7 in 1968 and has been on every NASA mission since. The Russians use it too. The Fisher Space Pen is one of the few products where space rated is a literal specification, not a branding exercise.
There's probably a lesson in there about solving actual engineering problems versus chasing features. A pen that writes in zero gravity isn't a gimmick. It's a solution to a real constraint.
The constraint drove innovation that benefits everyone. Pressurized refills work at any angle on Earth too. Writing in bed, writing on a vertical surface, writing when your pen has been sitting tip-up for months. The Fisher refill handles all of it. The space program's trickle-down is real.
Alright, before we wrap, I want to hit one more thing. Daniel mentioned engineering-oriented writing instruments. Is there actually a category of pens designed specifically for engineers, or is that just marketing?
It's partly marketing, but there's some substance. The Rotring 600 was designed for technical drawing. The knurled grip and hexagonal body aren't cosmetic. They're functional for precise line work on a drafting table. In the pen world, engineering-oriented usually means metal body, textured grip, precise tip tolerances, no flex, and compatibility with fine point refills. It's a real cluster of design features, even if the label gets applied loosely.
It's a vibe with actual design underpinnings.
The best kind of marketing, true enough to be useful, loose enough to sell products.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late Victorian period, a naturalist exploring Kyrgyzstan's Naren River documented a tidal bore, a wave traveling upstream against the current, that was so powerful it temporarily reversed the river's flow for nearly 12 miles. The phenomenon was never reliably observed again after 1891, and by 1910 it was officially declared extinct, likely due to a landslide that reshaped the riverbed and permanently dampened the bore's formation.
A river wave that went extinct. That's a new category of loss.
I didn't know tidal bores could go extinct.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. You can find show notes and more at My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Go buy a pen that outlasts you.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.